Happy Friday, everybody. Today is September the 15th. I'm John Galantis.
And I'm Ellie Galantis.
And you're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can find us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Or if you have a question for Dr. Shah, anything you'd like to write in, suggest we talk about, send us a text at 252-582-5028. You can also email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com. And you can help us keep this conversation going by supporting the show. You can share it online, leave us a good review on iTunes or Spotify. We're going to leave a link in the description so you can do just that.
You know, the verse of the day today is Romans 15:5. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus.
That is something that I struggle with all the time is patience. I've actually been talking to people this week, and I said I've got many, many flaws as a Christian and as a man. But if I had to boil it down to one, I think it would be patience. That's the one I struggle with the most.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love you, but I agree.
I think it's common for millennials, though, to struggle with patience. Read the verse again.
Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus.
Yeah. Being like-minded to one another means that you have to be patient because he's a God of patience. You
know yeah. Well, not only that, but we typically aren't like-minded. We all have our own thoughts and we all think our thoughts are best. Our way is best.
Yeah, because I'm the main character of my universe.
Yeah.
My story revolves around me. And I'm not even saying that to be like funny or haha, look at those silly millennials. Every single person, the universe may not, but your story, your narrative revolves around you as the main character. Everyone else is a side character.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the mindset that's hard to abandon. Being like-minded means you be like-minded in Christ. He's the main character. He's the center, and he genuinely is the center of the universe, everything that exists.
Yeah, we're called to be unified as a church body.
That's right.
Doing his work.
That's right. And one day as a human race, we'll be completely unified all together. Every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord. I had a really interesting one today.
Okay.
This one's kind of funny. This is from Jackson M. right here in North Carolina.
Do we know him?
We may.
Okay.
We may. $1 million. Anytime you enter a building that you've never been in, you have to scream at the top of your lungs.
Hands down, I'm taking the money.
What?
Yeah.
No way.
I'm loud as it is. I already pretty much do that.
I did not see that. So you get invited to go to the White House.
Sure.
Dave and Evelyn get us to a tour of the Pentagon, and you walk in and just go, You do that?
Yes. Yeah. I might not do it as chaotic and crazy, but yes.
No way.
Yeah. I just. Yeah.
No way. Yeah. You scream at the top of your lungs.
Yeah,
do you just scream like nonsense or do you scream words?
I scream words.
What would you scream?
I can't say it. If I'm going to the White House, I can't say what I would scream right now.
So if you can't do it here on the radio, how are you going to do it in the White House? How are you going to do it? Like,
no, I could, but I don't have $1 million in front of
me.
What
if it's like a funeral home you've never been to?
I mean, they're not going to hear me.
Who's not going to hear you? The funeral home staff?
They may hear me, but that's
fine. The grieving family? They're not going to hear you?
It's fine. I'll give them a little bit of money, help pay for some stuff, and cover the cost.
Have you ever been in a funeral home?
Yes.
You know how unnaturally quiet it is in there?
Yeah.
But you're going
to... It'll help relieve some tension.
No, it'll create
make them laugh a little bit.
It'll create tension. You're going in, and you're like, hey! Hey, everybody! Sorry for your loss!
Here's some money.
Look, money. It's like covering the floor of the. What about like a restaurant you've never been in? Everybody's like trying to chat and have fun. Is there any building?
What do I care about a restaurant? Do you see how people show themselves in restaurants?
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
I've never seen nobody show themselves in a restaurant.
People don't have couth in restaurants.
Really?
Uh-uh. Not, I worked in fast food. I definitely know they didn't have couth there.
Everybody says that who worked in fast food.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm talking about like...
Lose their minds over some food. Fried chicken?
I'm talking about... Didn't someone call you racist because you didn't put chicken out?
Yeah, they called me racist because I wouldn't put more chicken breasts on the buffet because I had just put chicken breasts on the buffet.
So was there chicken breasts on the buffet?
Yes, I had just finished putting it there, but they didn't like that. The chicken breast that had been there for 5 seconds. And I was racist because I wouldn't put more.
What did they want? Just more?
Yes.
Did they put all that on their plate and then want more?
No, they just didn't want what I put out there. wanted different.
So, okay. Is there any building that you wouldn't walk in and scream at the top of your lungs for $1 million. You're going to do it in a funeral home. You're going to do it in the White House.
I don't think so.
A grocery store you're going in.
Yeah, you rearranged my grocery store. I'll go in there right away. I'll go do it right now.
I would also, you do it for free.
I would do it for free.
I would also take the money, but I'm surprised that you would.
Why?
I just didn't see you doing that.
I'm not like Ryan. I take money easily.
Yeah, Ryan will turn down money in a heartbeat.
It's gotta be really something pretty bad for me to not take the money.
Yeah, $1 million is a lot of money. That's a lot. What about you guys? Would you walk into any building once you've walked into that building, you never have to do it again. But if you ever enter a building you've never been in, you have to scream at the top of your lungs. Let us know. Send us a text at 252-582-5028, or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. We'll be right back right after this.
Hey, everyone. My name's Ellie.
And I'm David.
And we want to take a minute and let you know how we can actually serve you as you're listening to Clearview Today.
The Bible paints an extraordinary picture of who we are as a church body. The mission of Clearview Church is to lead all people into a life-changing, ever-growing relationship with Jesus Christ. A huge part of leading people is praying for them. A big reason that Christians have unanswered prayers in their life is because they're not praying.
You know, 1 John 5:15 says, "And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him." If you're listening to the Clearview Today Show, we want to know how we can pray for you as well.
There's a number of ways that you can get in touch with us at Clearview and share your prayer request, but the best way is by texting us at 252-582-5028. You can also send us an email at prayer@clearviewbc.org, or you can download the Clearview app on iTunes or Google Play. You know, on that app, there's a dedicated prayer wall that helps us to get to know what's going on in your life, how we can pray for you, and how we can take any necessary steps to get you moving in the right direction.
Thanks for listening. Now let's get back to the show.
Welcome back to Clearview Today, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can find us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions for us or anything for Dr. Shaw, anything you'd like to write in, suggest we talk about, send us a text at 252-582-5028. You can also email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com. Ellie, good to see you again.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing okay. I was not happy that you screamed in the post office earlier when we went during the break. We went to the post office and Ellie just screamed at the top of her lungs.
I mean, I had to prove I was committed.
It's crazy because someone actually came up to us and gave us a check for $1 million. Like, we're rich now because she did that.
Yeah, okay.
Well, as you guys know, Dr. Shah and the rest of the staff are traveling through Greece. Make sure you continue to have them in your prayers. And as you know, we've been going through a list of sermons that Dr. Shah has preached. These are sermons that really spoke to you. Yeah. You know, this is something that I posed to Ellie. I said, hey, since you're going to be on the show this week, why don't you pick out 4 sermons that really have spoken to you and have sort of impacted you as a Christian and as a person? And today's is called Delight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was actually a sermon that he preached this past Mother's Day.
Mm.
And it wasn't just to mothers, obviously, it was just to parents in general, but it was one that was really convicting and definitely spoke to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those, and we'll get into the sermon and you guys can hear Dr. Shaw's take on this, but it's one of those that reminds us like how many reasons life gives us to despise our family.
Resent our kids.
Resent our kids, our parents, our family, our children, grandchildren, but God has called us to delight in them, mm-hmm. You know? Why don't we go ahead and dive in?
Now here's the next question. What we're doing is we're looking at this verse, Proverbs 3:12, for whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father, the son in whom he delights. We're looking at it from all different angles. It's like holding up a diamond and just turning it or going around it from different angles. What is the meaning of the word delight? Just as a father, the son in whom he delights. How do you delight in someone? You know, when I first came to America, came to the South, I heard a lot of phrases, and one of them was tickled pink. Never heard that, never used it. I said, how do you do that? How do you get tickled pink? Sometimes people think the word delight means you just tickled pink. You're just like all giddy over your kids. Is that what that word delight really means? So how do you figure out How do you delight in your children? What you have to do is you have to go into the Bible and find the word delight and figure out how it was used. And you cannot do that just in English. What many times people do when they study the Bible is they go, oh, there's a word here. There's a word love, or there's a word hope, or there's a word delight. I'm going to go to the concordance and find every time the word delight is used. Here's one problem. When people translated the Bible, they do it by committee. Committee meaning there's a group of scholars will come together and they'll say, we want these three guys to translate the book of Genesis. We want these three scholars to translate Exodus or Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, or in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. These three, these four, these five will do these sections. So what they do is they come to the Hebrew or they come to the Greek and they translate those words to the best of their ability. And many times they use the word delight, but there's a different Hebrew word behind it. Here's what I did. If I want to know what Proverbs 3:12 means when it says the word delight, I'm going to go back to the Hebrew and find every time the Hebrew word behind it is used and then see the context. And the Hebrew word is ratsah. R-A-T-S-A-H, as transliteration, is the word ratsa. So I went to see, what does it mean? And it's not tickled pink, okay? Here are some examples very quickly. The first one, in our relationship with God, in Deuteronomy 33:11, it says, bless his substance, Lord, and accept. Here's the word ratsa in Hebrew. Bless his substance, Lord, and ratsa the work of his hands. In the context, it is referring to the Levites, the Levi family. Remember, Jacob had 12 sons. One of them was Levi. But why is it saying bless him and accept him? Because he had done a lot of things and his descendants had done a lot of things to disappoint God. They were the ones who tested God in the wilderness. They were the ones who failed to acknowledge their own parents, his siblings, and children. Nonetheless, God still accepted them. Don't miss this. A delightful home is a place where you will not approve someone's behavior. Nonetheless, you still accept them. The action, the behavior is contrary to our values, biblical values. We don't approve that, but you are still accepted. You are still our child, and that's all there is to it. A delightful home is a place where we are accepted. Let me just stop there for a moment. Don't raise your hands. But did you grow up in a delightful home? Where parents did not approve, but they accepted you as a person? Here's another example. Isaiah 60 verse 10. For in my wrath I struck you, but in my favor, the word is ratsa. In my favor, I have had mercy on you. In the context, it's about God's unfailing commitment towards his people, even though when he had to discipline them. A delightful home is not a place where whatever you want to do, you just have the freedom. No, there are times that you'll be corrected. You will be disciplined. Appropriately, a delightful home is a home where there is discipline. No, you can't do that. No, there are consequences to that. Now, since you did that, these privileges are gone. You see how our idea of delight is, oh, well, you know, whatever, it's okay. Well, when I was young, I made mistakes too, so it's all fine. There is discipline in delight. Here's another example. Psalm 103 verse 21. Bless the Lord, all you his host, you ministers of his who do his pleasure. In this context, the whole psalm is about God's mercies in our lives. If you read the psalm, it'll tell you how delight is a sense of mercy. Oh, I can get you. Oh, I got you. I know what you did, and I'm about to nail you to the wall. Nonetheless, I'm going to deal with that situation, but still show mercy. That's a delightful home. I remember when I was maybe 9, 10 years of age. I can't exactly remember the age, but Dad was at home in the afternoon. He would come home, take a nap, and then he would go back to work, and he would be, you know, he was very hardworking. And I remember him coming home this one day, and he hung his pants on top of the door and got into his pajamas and was taking a nap. As I was walking past that door, I noticed his wallet. And what's more is I noticed some money in the wallet, and one rupee bill was kind of sticking out. So I was like, well, I mean, I love candy, still do. I said, maybe I can take one. It's just one, because I see some other ones in there. Not a big deal. If I just take one, he's not going to miss it. It's not a big deal. It's all good. So I took it, went and got some candy, got back home. That evening, as we sat down at the dinner table, I remember Dad asking that question. He said, so how was your day? That's not how Dad spoke. In our home, we didn't say, how was your day? We don't talk like that. It was just like, hey, did you do this? Did you do your homework? Let's make sure we take care of this, whatever. How was your day? And in that moment, I knew, oh, great, he knows. And here it comes. I'm going to get a whooping. It's because I stole from his wallet. You know, it's like a really extreme form of thievery. You know, I stole from his wallet. Here's what happened. Nothing. He didn't say a single other word. He changed the subject, started talking about this, that, and the whole time I'm thinking, when is it going to be that he's going to say, I need to talk to you? Nothing. You know, in his wisdom, he already knew that I knew and that I was very embarrassed and the lesson had been learned. Now, I'll be first to confess to you, as a father, I didn't always follow that principle. But he did. And to this day, I knew the lesson, which is, don't do that. Why did he do that? Because through wisdom, he understood the value of mercy, that not, I'm going to nail you now. Now you're going to find out, buddy, for doing that. No, none of that. Okay. Moved on. But I got the message. You see, a home that is delightful is a home where there is mercy that is offered. Not condoning, but mercy is offered. And lessons are learned. The same word, ratsa, is often found in examples where human beings are mentioned. In Proverbs 16:13, righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him who speaks what is right. It means a king loves to hear and pay attention to words of truth and righteousness. A delightful home is a place where people are attentive. You know, there was a time in my life that I felt like nobody cared. All kids do that at some point in time. They think they were adopted or something. You know, they just found on the side of the road or something. And mom and dad don't love me as much as they love everybody else. Then when you grow up, you realize when you have your own family, man, mom and dad really paid attention. In spite of how busy they were, they still had time to do this, that, and the other. How did they do that? It is so fashionable in our culture to sit back and say, my mom and dad, man, they didn't care. It was all right. Until you have your own and you go, wow, they worked so hard. They had none of the opportunities I have. And yet they did this and this and this and this and this. How in the world did they pull that off? Are y'all getting this message? So a delightful home is a place where there is attention given to even those details. And here's one more, the word, and I can go on and on, but I'm just picking some few. Genesis 33, verse 10, the word ratsa shows up again. And this time is in the interaction between Jacob and Esau. Remember, Jacob and Esau didn't get along. And Esau was angry with Jacob. And later on, Jacob had a lot of wealth. And he tried to give that to his brother Esau. And Esau said, man, look, I forgive you. I don't need all that money. I don't need all the animals. You keep it. Listen to what Jacob says. He said, no, please. If I have found favor in your sight, and then receive my present from my hand, inasmuch as I have seen your face, as though I had seen the face of God, and you were ratsa, you were pleased with me. The idea behind that is this. A delightful home is a place where there is reconciliation, there is acceptance, there is forgiveness. That word ratsa, one more, is found in the context of worship in Psalm 51, verse 16, where David is confessing his sin. He says to God, "For you do not desire sacrifice, or I will give it to you. You do not delight, you do not ratsa in burnt offerings." What are you ratsa in? Verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Means what delights God is an environment where there is humility, there is a repentance, there is reconciliation. Is that the kind of home that you have for your children? Y'all don't get along. Go, you go over there and you go over there. No, we're going to come back together and make it right. You see, the word delight can have a range of meanings. It has the idea of being fond of someone, being pleased with someone, accepting someone favorably, being satisfied with someone, showing mercy when you can nail them. No, I'm going to show you mercy. Even disciplining someone, that's all part of being delighted. Question for parents who have children at home. Can your children tell that you delight in them? Again, not tickle pink or all giddy over them. Can they tell that you delight in them? You accept them? You show mercy to them? You discipline them? But you teach them how to reconcile? Is your home a place where mercy is freely given? Is your home a place where unconditional love is constantly shown, even with little actions? One of the family traditions in our home was, summertime, mom and dad would take us for ice cream. And we would get these bowls of ice cream, come back home. And the tradition was we would quickly finish our bowl and then wait for mom and dad to give us something out of their bowl. I don't know why I wouldn't do that to my kids. I had a dad tax, which means I'm going to eat mine and then I get a spoon out of yours. But my mom and dad were different. They were like, after our bowl was empty, it's like, okay, here you go, here's some more. I mean, they never finished their ice cream. We always got their stuff. But that's just a little way of saying we love you. Can your adult children tell that you delight in them? And that's tough because sometimes adult children will make decisions and do things that will hurt you, that will disappoint you. Have you forgiven them? Have you, parents, have you accepted your new roles in their lives? Well, I would, but I mean, they're doing things. I can't agree with that. Well, they're different. And they will make decisions and they will make choices that mom and dads, if you raise them right, they will be free thinkers. By the way, do you know that's one of the signs that you raised well? Because kids will do something very different. Mom and dad have to go, I'm not talking about sin, but I'm talking about a job or something else. You go, well, I don't know, that's the wisest decision, but okay. I still delight in my children.
It's a tough, tough sermon.
Very convicting.
Yeah, I mean, anything that has to do with the home is ultimately going to be convicting. You know, it's easy. I won't say easy, but it's tempting to only stick with doctrine and theological, philosophical concepts to talk about on a show like this, because then you don't have to really do any inward reflection of, am I living up to the standard of God's expectations for my family and my home? Extremely, extremely convicting. And it's one of those things where we always can make justifications for why we do the things we do or why we think the way we think. But I love what Dr. Shah said is you don't ever have to approve of anybody's behavior. You don't have to approve of their presence even in your life, but you have to accept it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I don't mean accept it as in you approve it or you think it's good. It's just that, hey, you are who you are.
Yeah, it was very convicting to me because he asked several times in that sermon, can your children tell you delight in them? Mm-hmm. And it just made me think about all the times that I've lost my temper or been impatient or frustrated with mm-hmm. Gavin or mm-hmm. Holden not quite as much because he can't really talk yeah. or do anything right yeah. now. But with Gavin, just because I've had a long day, how many times have I just lost my patience?
Oh, or you always do it. Not you, but just as parents.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Gotten frustrated and not really done those things, not really delighted. And not like Pastor said, it's not being tickled pink, but showing mercy or...
I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. It's one of those things that you look back on. You never think about this stuff in the moment. You always think about it in hindsight, reflecting. Mm-hmm. And it often comes with this like tag of regret. But it's something to look forward to. It's something to take with you in your future interactions. And even if you didn't have a good start, this is something that Dr. Shah says in his and Nicole's book, 30 Days to a New Beginning. There's a chapter in there on having a false start, basically.
Yeah.
If you grew up in a dysfunctional home, you're not done for. Yeah. You can still live a great godly life, even if you come from a dysfunctional home. Look at Solomon, was the wisest person who ever lived. He came from a father who was a murderer, a father mm-hmm. who was an adulterer, a father who manipulated people. And like in his younger days, he joined the enemy army against Israel. He was a traitor. And, you know, all those things he came to do. And yet that same man wrote Psalm 23. That same man raised the man who would become the wisest man in whoever lived because he asked God for that wisdom. So I think one thing I got from this sermon was that, like, you may have a false starter. You may have a bad starter. You may have come from a dysfunctional family. That doesn't mean that you are doomed to dysfunction forever because God can work all those things together for good.
Yes. And one of the things, this is kind of shifting a little bit, but one of the things I appreciate is just how all the work that Dr. Shah puts into researching all this. Like he went in and looked up all the different times delight was used in Hebrew and then translated it back and everything just to see like the different meanings and put all this together so that you end up where he comes out and he points out these things of acceptance and favor and pleasure and delight and being pleased. And showing us just delighting in our children isn't just one way, like he said, of thinking of being tickled pink.
Right.
It's disciplining your kids. It's also showing mercy to your kids. It's mm-hmm. accepting them. Mm-hmm. All those things. Pray for your kids. I actually have a book that I was going to plug here.
Sure.
That I've been reading. I don't know if you can see it, but it's called The 1 Year Praying Through the Bible for Your Kids by Nancy Guthrie. This is something I just recently picked up and I've been reading and it's really great. It's, it goes through, and it takes you each day. It has a little devotional in it. And then it also takes you through a book in the Old Testament, a book in the New Testament, and then a Psalm and a proverb simultaneously. Mm-hmm. And then you go through and pray for your kids over different things. And it actually has a spot where you can go in and write your kid's name.
Yeah.
And specifically pray for them.
That's amazing.
It's something I've been trying to be more intentional about. Just praying for our kids and their future and just how we interact with them and raise them. And
yeah, powerful, powerful sermon. Thank you for picking these, Ellie. These were really good.
Definitely. They're ones that stood out. And if I'm doing it mostly, it's been pretty convicting to me here sitting because
if they've convicted you and they've, you know, they've touched your life, there's a good chance they're going to touch someone else's life as well. And that's our prayer for this radio show. We want you guys to get a lot out of these sermons. If you enjoyed today's topic or you've had any suggestions for future topics, be sure to let us know. Send us a text at 252-582-5028. You can also visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. And don't forget, you can support us financially on that same website. That's clearviewtodayshow.com. Every single time you give, you are making an impact for God's kingdom. We love you guys. We'll see you next time on Clearview Today.